KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies here in Atlantic, 43 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Our forecast is calling for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a slight chance of sprinkles this afternoon and a high of 58. In Southwest Iowa news, three people were arrested recently in Creston. The Creston Police Department reports 50-year-old Robbie Carter of Creston was arrested at around 10:45 p.m. Sunday for OWI first offense. Carter was later released from the Union County Jail on $1,000 bond. And 46-year-old Christopher Selvey of Creston was arrested Sunday on a charge of public intoxication and for domestic abuse simple assault. Selvey was later released from custody on $300 bond. Last Friday, police in Creston arrested 41-year-old Luke Johnson of Creston on a Union County warrant for probation violation. Johnson was later released from the jail on $2,000 bond. Two Republican legislators from southern Iowa have announced they've reached a deal with Governor Branstad that will hopefully mean the state-run mental health institutes in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant will reopen next year under private management. Since January, Branstad has repeatedly vowed to close what he calls antiquated facilities by June the 30th, but on Friday it appeared that the governor had agreed to temporarily keep parts of the facilities open through mid-December with the goal of reopening both on January 1st under private ownership.
I convinced the governor that our campuses needed to remain open to provide these vitally needed services that we had done so well in our community and that were much needed.
That's Representative David Heaton, a Republican from Mount Pleasant, who says the proposal will be presented for a vote in the House this week.
The governor's agreed to take this plan. It's not everything, I think, that we would want, all of us, both sides of the aisle on this issue, but I think this is the best thing that we can get.
May 18th has been the target date for closure of the Mount Pleasant MHI, and some furniture already has been removed from the facility. May 31st is the target date for the closing down of the Clarinda MHI. Representative Cecil Dolichek, a Republican from Mount Air, said this is a solid agreement with the governor, and it means vital services for mentally ill Iowans will be available in southern Iowa. Two females were injured during a four-wheeler accident Saturday afternoon at around 4:45 in Montgomery County. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office said deputies responded to the accident that occurred in the woods north of the 1600 block of 270th Street. Two juvenile females were riding a 1998 Yamaha 350 Veritracker four-wheeler when it slid in the mud and struck a tree. The driver was taken by helicopter to the University of Nebraska Medical Center while the passenger was taken to the Montgomery County Hospital by private vehicle. A report of their conditions is not available. Red Oak Rescue and Red Oak Police assisted at the scene and the investigation was continuing. Deputies in Montgomery County arrested a woman Sunday morning who refused to leave a residence. The Sheriff's Department says Shelby J. Oliveras of Red Oak was arrested just after 8:30 a.m. for public intoxication. Officials say the woman was taken into custody after they received a report she would not leave a residence on East Grimes Street. When authorities arrived, they found Oliveras on the sidewalk in front of the residence and the property owner was in the yard. The owner said he advised Oliveras to leave, but she refused to do so. The woman was allegedly impaired with slurred speech and stumbling and swaying. She was offered a preliminary breath test but refused and taken into custody without further incident. She was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond. A traffic stop in Red Oak early Sunday morning also resulted in an arrest. Red Oak police say 43-year-old Karen Patrice Rabitsky from Oklahoma was arrested in the 600 block of East Reed Street at around 2:35 a.m. Sunday. The woman was charged with OWI first offense and booked into the Montgomery County Jail with bond set at $1,000. A Red Oak woman was arrested for public intoxication on Saturday. At 5:45 p.m., officers arrested 50-year-old Rebecca Jean Gulick of Red Oak. She was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held in $300 bond. New concerns are being raised about the air quality inside of a Northwest Iowa jail that was built on the site of a former gas station. The Sioux City Journal reports officials are looking at ways to address the concerns at the Woodbury County Law Enforcement Center. Health officials have been monitoring conditions for years with regular tests, but a test performed on the building last fall showed elevated levels of benzene. Officials thought the problems were solved in 2003 when an air filtration system was added, but recent tests suggest more steps might be needed. Matthew Grace with the State Department of Natural Resources said officials are looking for a better long-term solution to make sure petroleum vapors won't cause problems. Elsewhere in state news, firefighters have spent hours trying to douse a fire burning in buildings in Oskaloosa's downtown square. The fire was first reported at about 2 a.m. Monday at the hardware and sporting goods store on 1st Avenue. They were still fighting the fires more than 4 hours later. Both buildings appear to be badly damaged, but no injuries have been reported. Two of Governor Terry Branstad's key priorities remain unresolved as the Iowa legislature winds down this session. Branstad announced in January that he wanted lawmakers to update Iowa's anti-bullying law and pass legislation to expand high-speed internet. The Senate approved an anti-bullying bill, but it remains in limbo in the House. A broadband bill passed in the House, but it's still making its way through the Senate. Time is running out to advance the bills. While lawmakers are at odds over the budget for the next fiscal year, party leaders are expected to reach a compromise soon, which could quickly lead to adjournment. Branstad prioritized both issues last year, but they failed to garner enough support. He told reporters he's still hopeful this year's bills will reach his desk. With the graduation ceremonies coming soon, many Iowa students are now getting ready to land their first post-college job, and the search may be a bit tougher for female graduates. While the first job can be difficult for any grad to get, and many find themselves underemployed, studies indicate that it's much harder for women. Rachel Elahi is psychologist and life management coach for professional women, who says some of the extra demands placed on females are self-created.
Research shows we absolutely have to prove ourselves more, but it also shows that we think that we have to know more than our male counterparts.
A 2014 Bloomberg Business Week study found that women graduating with business degrees are less likely to get job offers than male counterparts. According to the American Association of University Women, women who graduate from college will receive lower starting salaries than men in their first year. Elahi says it's important for female graduates to have a full understanding of their value to a potential employer and to apply for positions where they have plenty of room to grow.
Part of the advice would be to just go for it. If you know you have the potential to do the job, even if you don't have all the experience, go for it. Don't hold back.
And law enforcement agencies will be heavily patrolling the roads from May the 18th through the 31st, and those are the days leading up to and after the Memorial Day weekend. During their patrols, officers will be looking to enforce the seatbelt law in hopes of reducing the number of crash fatalities. Crash data show that passenger vehicle occupants are buckling up more during the day than at nighttime. A two-week-long law enforcement mobilization across Iowa and the rest of the nation is created to heighten seatbelt enforcement 24/7. With focused enforcement efforts, especially between the nighttime hours of 6 p.m. and 6 a.m., due to the significant number of violators and fatal crashes during that time. Over the last 10 years, Iowa has averaged 5.3 traffic fatalities during the three-day Memorial Day weekend. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, nearly half of the 21,132 passenger vehicle occupants who were killed on our nation's highways in 2013 were not wearing seatbelts, and that number jumped to 67% for males ages 13 to 15. Buckling up on the back seat is just as important. Half of all front seat occupants killed in crashes in 2012 were unrestrained, but 61% of those killed in back seats were unrestrained as well. Keep in mind that those fatalities aren't just statistics, they're someone's family member or friend. The Iowa's Department of Public Safety and Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau want you to remember that the single most effective way to reduce fatalities in motor vehicle crashes is to wear your seatbelt every day and on every trip. Our news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.